Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Psalm chapter 33 and Isaiah chapter 9. Psalm 33 and Isaiah chapter 9. The Declaration of Independence declared in 1776. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then those that sign the Declaration, for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. It costs them dearly. How much are we willing to pay for the freedom of the United States of America? Would you please stand with us as we read from the book of Psalm, chapter 33, beginning in verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love, for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Bless this church. Lord, we pray that you would bless the United States of America with gospel preaching churches. Lord, may we as a nation repent before you turn us over. Lord, we just ask now that your hand of mercy would be upon us even this day. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As you well know, the United States of America turns 245 years old today. Mere babes compared to some of the nations of the world. John Hancock and 55 men signed that Declaration of Independence, knowing full well what it could mean. But a far greater Declaration of Independence has been declared, the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, if you would please, Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2. You've read it before, thought many times, declared at Christmas time. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Darkness in America. The liberal media. The liberal educational system. The liberal politicians. The anti-God movement, the anti-prayer people, the pro-abortionist groups, the evolutionists, the Hollywood group, false teachers, false religions, the LGBT mindset, producers of pornography. May I say this? We live in a world of darkness. And we need to shine as light. We need to reflect the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I guarantee you, I would not want to have to start with Paul Wuckey down here, work our way around, ending up with Jim over on this side, and have every one of you stand up and give a testimony of your sinful life. Right? Because all of us know that we are sinners. And we know there are two types of sinners. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and those who have not. And they will spend eternity in hellfire. But a great declaration was declared, the people that walked in darkness. In other words, there is still opportunity for souls to be saved even today. They saw a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Folks, we know this. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God. You know, America has been blessed with so many things. Well, we have been blessed beyond measure. Even in this world of the COVID-19, we find that we have not been nearly affected as some of the countries of the world. I was just reading a letter from one of our missionaries in Indonesia, and she wrote about the fact that the cemeteries are full. The hospitals are full. And the people are in tents outside on cots waiting to be taken inside. We are so blessed. But yet we still walk in darkness. Take your Bibles and please keep your place here in Isaiah. We will be back at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Yes, we live in a world that is lost. They know they need something, but they're looking in the wrong places. They need Jesus Christ, but they have not been told. Verse 4 says, in whom the God, small g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Our enemy, our spiritual enemy, desires us to keep our mouth shut. He desires that we serve the Lord privately, if at all. Folks, we have so many things that are drawing us away from the teachings of the Word of God. We have so many things that are crying out to us that seem to be important. But what is important is that the light of Christ shines. Back again to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, we've read it, we've heard it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A child born of a virgin, human. A son is given, the very Son of God. God came himself to redeem us. He did not send Michael or Gabriel or any other angel. He himself came. And God died for you and for me. So that we could have salvation. So that our sins could be forgiven. Our vicarious sacrifice. A son. Divine. Holy, just, moral, all-powerful. Have you ever pondered the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was willing to spend his time with Peter and Andrew and James and John and Matthew and Simon the Zealot and the other disciples, that he was willing to walk with them? It had to be difficult for him every time he looked at Judas, knowing that Judas would shortly betray him. And yet he did this because of love. If I were to ask you to describe love, how would you describe it? Well, you would simply say Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ loved us enough to come and to die for you. No man, if you would, please, the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. John, writing here in this book, says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" Notice it's a strong angel. A strong angel. And he says, "Who can open the book?" Verse 30. "And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." And John says, "And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Verse 5, "And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain." The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. You know, I am glad for the gift of eternal life. Amen. I am glad that I do not have to work my way to heaven. Because, can I tell you this? I would fall far short. Because I know me. I know how many mistakes I make. I know how many times I make wrong decisions. I realize that I am a sinner, simply saved by grace. And all of you, if you're honest about it, would say the very same thing. That the only way you can be saved is by the grace of God. Amen. The apostle John wept because no man was found worthy to open this book. But let's notice verse 8. "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Every one of them, harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints." You find that interesting that your prayers are recorded? Your prayers are recorded. Can I ask you a couple questions without you thinking I'm trying to be nasty? Did you pray for the pastor to have a good sermon today? Did you this morning pray for Paul Madonna, saying, give him words that could be of encouragement to me? Did you pray yesterday for the church? Your prayers are recorded, which are the prayers of the saints. Verse 9. And they sung a new song. You like to sing. Don't you find singing uplifting? I enjoy it. I enjoy it when on Sunday night we sing a half dozen songs. I think that is good. Today we'll go downstairs and we'll eat and then we'll sing some songs. We'll start with Deep and Wide to get the blood rushing back up to the head and not just in our belly. And we'll sing a few other songs because singing is good. In fact, aren't we supposed to make a joyful noise unto the Lord?
Yes.
They sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Notice, for thou wast slain. Why did Jesus Christ have to die? Did he have to die for you? Did he have to die for you? Did he have to die for Paul Madonna? Go ahead and say amen.
Amen.
Do you realize he had to die for each and every one of us? Jesus Christ had to die. It was the only thing that God the Father would accept in covering our sins. Notice, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast what? Redeemed us to God. I feel sorry for those who have been taught, if you work hard enough, God has to let you in. I feel sorry for those who say, if you live a good enough life, because you had grandmas and grandpas, weren't they really good people? Then you had parents, weren't they really good people? And you say, well, surely they are in heaven. But no. Christ has died to redeem mankind, but they must accept the salvation that only He can offer. And has redeemed us to God, notice this, by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Doesn't that sound like the United States of America? I represent Italy. My grandpa Madonna was from Italy, was born in Italy. My grandpa Geissens was born in France. So I represent both Italy and France. I represent also parts of the United Kingdom and also Holland. You know, we find that we represent different countries and we have come together in what they call the melting pot. And in the United States of America, we've seen hundreds, yea, thousands and millions come to know Christ as their Savior, who will sing on that glorious day to the Lord. But then, because we have been so blessed, we have had the pleasure of sending out missionaries who have taken the gospel message. On Wednesday night, as Brother Plank was talking about his ministry in Italy, he showed us some of the fruits of his labor, but because we sent him our fruits also.
That's right.
Souls that have been saved, redeemed out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation. We'll all be there. Do you look forward to singing in that great choir in heaven? I won't hit any bad notes. And neither will you. We continue. verses 11 and 12. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings." Are we to live a life that glorifies Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Can I tell you something that has been on my heart of the last few weeks? What is the simplest thing to do as a born-again believer? The simplest thing to do as a born-again believer is to go to church. It's the simplest thing. But there is no excuse. We are to go to church to honor our Lord and Savior. In our country, we have freedom of religion. And yet, what are our politicians to think when less than 25% of Americans now actively attend church? Should they really care if we have freedom of religion when we ourselves do not even attend church regularly?
Yeah.
Folks, we need to use it,
Amen.
Or we're going to lose it. And then we'll complain when the body of believers stop attending church the way they should. Worthy is the Lamb to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. May the following readings stir our heart. During the darkest days of the American Revolution at Valley Forge, the lone sentries slowly walked back and forth in the dim, starlit night, leaving stains of blood where their bare feet passed over the cold, snow-covered ground. One day a farmer came home and said to his wife, "Mother, the British are going to lose this war." "What makes you think so, John?" was her reply. "Because," he said, "I saw George Washington today down on his knees in the snow, praying to God for guidance and help." A faith like that cannot be defeated. Folks, we need men and women who are in places of authority politically to once again turn their lives over to the Lord. Folks, we need today in our houses of worship pastors who will proclaim the Word of God faithfully and true.
Yeah.
May we today thank those who gave then and that have given down through the years for this great country.
Amen.
May I also thank God for those that have given their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Martyrs of the faith, committed and willing to give the supreme sacrifice. You have probably seen this bumper sticker. "Many gave some gave all." And some have been willing to die for the faith, have been willing to stand up for the cause of Christ. Can I tell you that we still need men and women who are willing to stand up for the cause of Christ?
Right.
For our children and for our grandchildren, so that they can know the Lord as their Savior.
Yes,
and that churches will still be able to freely proclaim the gospel message. During World War II, Britain had an air force that amounted to 125,000 men and women. 125,000, that's a lot of people, isn't it? You know how many of those 125,000 people died? 55,000 British men and women died in the Air Force. They died for their country. Now, I do not know how many Americans in World War II fought as part of our Air Force. But I'm going to tell you this, men and women died for us, for this great country. Folks, we fight for even a greater country. We'll be there far sooner than we think. Shall we stand together?